or 5 minutes or so, but we can keep like chatting and then I'll play the intro and it'll go to the other screen. But we are live. Jay, if you want to load it up.
Let me pull up it on my middle monitor.
All right, Jay, let out the tweet, let yours out. Bang. All right, make sure your audio's all working, Jay.
Yep, I think we should be good.
Let everybody load on in. Let's see. Make sure, let me check on my end. Everything's good. All right, so Don, you recorded that first song on an Astro mic? The hell?
I made like my first like 40 songs. Like I'm just weird. Like I'm like, it's crazy. I use technology every day, but I'm so bad with technology, like setting it up and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I've had this mic for so long and I've just never set it up. Like I just started using it to even like talk to people like over Discord and shit.
What mic is it?
The Shure mic.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh yeah, that's the shit right there. Yeah.
But I've had it for like probably 4 years and I just never used it.
You got like a mixer and everything?
Yep. Go LXR, Shure mic.
That's why Firefly sounded so much better. I was like, yo, the vocals came through. You got like a producer?
You said what?
You got like a producer or something?
I mean, now I got people sending me beats, but like for the most part, I've been finding like instrumentals for so long. I know where to find, like look from on YouTube, like the ones I like.
Mm.
But the problem with that is that you have to like buy a lease, right? So I had to buy the Firefly lease to release it. So it is better to work with like producers to where you don't have to buy a lease. So that's what I'm gonna like transition to. It's because it's just smarter. It's literally like difficult to drop a song.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean buy the lease? Educate me. So when you...
So say I go on YouTube, right? I go on YouTube. I just listen to beats. I'm like, ooh, this is hard. I make a whole song. I just download the beat. So normally you will have to like buy the beat and then they'll send you the beat in your email and then you make the song. I just make the song and then buy the beat. You know what I'm saying? I steal the beat off of YouTube.
Yeah.
The song. And then if I know I'm going to drop it, then I have to go back, find, okay, this is this beat. That's what it's called. Okay. And then I go buy the lease.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
It could vary. Some of them, it probably be like from like $15 to like $250. Mm. It could vary.
But when you buy the lease, does that mean you only get it for a certain amount of time or?
You only get it for a certain amount of streams. So for example, like the one I bought for Firefly, say something like the reason why I don't like overthink it though is because like, it would have to hit like 200,000 streams and then I would get looted. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. So you're already on the come up. So it's like,
but I'm thinking it's not going to hit 200,000. Like, let me just drop something to like put it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you want to purchase like the whole lease, like you own the beat, it's so much money. And I don't got the money to be owning the whole beat right now.
Yeah. It's a lot of cash for that.
Even mixing a song, like crazy.
Do you know any, like, Jamal Wheats, he's like a producer now, right? Have you ever considered like working Jamal with him? Does y'all like music interests kind of coincide or?
Man, I haven't talked to him about it. I'm kind of like shy when it comes to like music. Like I talk about this all the time. Like when it comes to COD, like I have 99 confidence. Like I know I'm him. But when it comes to music, like I don't know if I'm him. Like when I'm making a song, I don't even know if I'm going to like it. So how am I supposed to know if other people, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not as confident in music, so I don't really like ask favors from like I've only had like two features from my friend named D-Lo. I met him through Reem. Like, I feel comfortable asking him because he used to like help me, like he helped me get started basically.
Yeah,
that's why. But like other than that, I don't really like, I don't know, I don't feel like comfortable enough with music yet.
I feel that. All right, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about it because the song was good. But as the tweet's going out and stuff, we're getting ready to start this episode. For those of you who are joining and are rocking with us, I appreciate you. I know a majority of you guys are going to be on the VOD side, but let's play the intro and let's get it popping. What's good? Welcome to Codcast Friendly Fire with your host Nameless, joined alongside Study. We got Temp today in the building. What's good?
What's going on?
Should be a good time, man. This is our first episode doing this temp, so Donnie, so actually forgive us. You know, we're gonna try to go through our list of stuff. We'll probably go off the rails. Jay, how you doing, brother?
You know, I'm vibing, man. I'm ready to talk some Call of Duty with Don. Don, you know, the guy's making music. He doing it at Call of Duty. This is Mr. Do It All right here. We about to have a good time, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, seriously, like, season the moment, though. Like, Don, you're a pro player. You've been around for a while. You're making music now. You're streaming. You're grinding. I've peeped the stream. The stream's great. But it's been a long time, bro. Like, I was looking at, like, because I remember when you first came up. Like, I remember AW when I first heard of you. What is that? That's 2014, right? How old are you? 2015. Okay, sure. Yeah, it was that, bro. After Ghost, so yeah, 2015, right? So you're 23, so that's about 9 years, basically. Mm-hmm. You've been competing at a high level. So how old were you, AW? Like, you're like 14, 15, 16,
yeah.
And like, in AW, for those of you who don't, like, remember that time, because a lot of y'all are pretty young, Don was really, really, really good. Jay, you remember when we first heard of Don back in
the day? Yeah, it was him and, like, Hook back in the day. Those are them, first of them, that's when they both was coming up at the same time, and like, they was both them guys early on at 15, 16 years old. We
Yeah, I remember I was like, is this the next like generation? These guys are disgusting. But I did not want to believe it. I was like, temp is all internet. This kid's a joke. I got to see it on land, this and that. Obviously, it ended up being an absolute beast. But you've been a pro for a long time, and you obviously had to take a break. So talk me through like the AW year, how you got going. Like, talk to me about how that was like.
All right, yeah, so I'm not going to give you a crazy long answer, but basically I had just made it up in my mind that, because I was already good in, like, playing with, like, known players like Slasher, Accuracy, Cinder, and all of them. That's, like, my eighth circle, and I was just known as the eighth kid, and I just made it up in my mind to go pro. I'm like, I'm going to go pro.
Wait. How'd you meet those guys?
From Tyree Legal. Shout out Tyree Legal. He was a pro for a little bit, couple events, but I basically just met Tyree Legal in Black Ops 2 somehow, and he was just always, yo, I'm gonna put you under my wing, like, you're my son. And then he'd just bring me in the ace lobbies and pick me, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. Shout out to him. He definitely introduced me to, like, everybody.
How'd you get good, though? Like, that's what I want to know. That's more so what I was leaning to, because I know, like, I know the route, like, you meet people and stuff like that, like, but before that, you had to get good. Go ahead, Jay.
When do you get to that realization, Don? It's just like, yo, like, all right, I'm playing at this high level. You were probably playing like S&D tournaments.
He was 15, yeah.
So you were grinding on those S&D tournaments, probably winning a couple of them damn things. You get that confidence. But like, what made you want to make that switch? Like, what made it possible for you?
So I never had, like, I was never like a pub star for more than like 3 months. Like, my first ever COD was MW2. Mm-hmm. And then they told me about GBs in pubs. Like, I always was like, I was just always, I never played a shooter before COD. Like, I was just naturally good at COD. Like, I don't know. Like, I just, every group of people I play with, I was always the best. And then I knew I was really good in Ghosts because I would play eights versus people who, at the time, I thought top 12 was, like, good. Like, if you got top 12 as an AM, I'm like, oh, these guys are pretty good.
I was good. I
play against them and fried. Like, I'm frying them. You know what I'm saying? I'm frying them every day. Like, I'm not just getting lucky. It was every day I was frying, so. I knew around Ghost that I was good enough to be a pro, like individually. I think I had to learn like how to play and all that, like at the pro level, but like talent wise and Ghost, I knew like I had it.
That's something that like back in the day, like I used to get a lot of questions like when I was a pro, I'm sure you guys did too, of like, how do you get better this and that and the third? A lot of it like is natural, right? Like I at least I feel like a lot of it was natural, because I remember, you know, back in the day, like COD 2, I was like 11, 12 years old and I was gunning old men. Like, and obviously, like I wasn't sitting there like learning, I was just playing the game. So a lot of it was just like competitive nature and like natural skill, I feel like. So so sometimes it was like hard to try to like explain to people how to get better. But obviously, Don, like you were young and you had that natural skill. How did you like get better and get to another level? Because I remember you came in, you were nasty, but you got like way, way better immediately when you joined a pro team.
Because I never scrimmed. I was that good without scrimming. I played eights. I was known as an eights kid. Like, think about that. Like, now I honestly believe like you can scrim, like as long as you go hard, like in scrims. Like, if you actually give it your all in scrims every day, you don't need to play anything like extra, in my opinion. If you're going completely 100%. So that's how important scrims are. So like, I was that good by not scrimming and just hopping on for eights after like the actual players team scrimmed and then would play eights. You know what I'm saying? So it was basically just starting to scrim. And I never played anything as a team. I've never grown up playing sports. Like I had to like
learn it all. Yeah. That.
I had to learn how to like, I had to understand being a teammate. Like I had to learn that. So yeah, what do you, I feel like that's what made me better.
When did you, is that the moment when you realized like, yo, I got to learn a whole different aspect of my game. Like what was it like being a teammate from being an individual player? Like just a guy who hopped in eights. Like what was the difference between that?
Cause now I feel like it clicked for me until like probably later on in my career about like understanding how you affect your team. I didn't understand that until probably like 2 years ago. And I'm still like getting better at that. But like, I don't know. I feel like off the rip when I first went pro, I was just trying to get kills. Like I was just like individually, I grinded hard. Like I played every eights. I scrimmed. But like, I wasn't thinking like, I was trying to be better. Like Hook was on my team. I was trying to be better than Kyler.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to uplift Kyler. Like now if I'm like teaming with a superstar, I'm gonna try to be like uplift him. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to be better than him. Like that was my like old mindset.
That's a hard thing to learn too, right? Like when, not just like in general, like when during a map and during a series to take the back seat, you know, when you have that type of skill. You gotta learn that. And some people still don't know how to do that. It's very difficult. Yeah. And like for you, it's weird because like you said, you didn't play like team sports growing up. And you also, you were an eights kid. So it's not like you started with like an AM team like some people did and like made your way up. So you had to like, first of all, you're growing up with Call of Duty. You had to take the break. So you took a break and then played eights all that next year because you couldn't play until you're 18, right? Yep. So that like, because you were on a team and then you had to go back to the eights. So how was that transition? Because that had to suck for a little bit.
It was bad. It was really bad watching like people who I thought like I was beating or I was better than like have like a lot of success. But overall, like I think I made use of that time. Like at the time, like I was 350 pounds. So like that year I lost, like I had nothing to do but like focus on other stuff.
Yeah.
So I lost like 80 pounds that year. You know, I still had fun. I'm still a kid. So it was annoying, but I still made good use of my time.
That's good. Yeah. I remember Jay. Remember we were teaming that game, right? And we were like, "Yo, Hook and Don, we don't gotta play against these guys this year."
Thank God, bro. Age restriction hit, bro.
It's like, dude,
they saved lives, bro. They was hitting the fucking dolphin dive out there, like right in early. Snoop, the game came out, bro. Like,
yeah,
they was battle testing that shit before they even played.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people know you're coming from stuff. I just want to add some context to it. And you spoke like about eights, right? So I heard what you just kind of said about it. Now for me, and Jay always differed from me in this opinion, but I thought eights helped tremendously in getting better. Like that's just how my approach was. Obviously, I never competed in the CDL era, so it's way different. But I felt like eights was one of the biggest things you could do to improve your game. Because COD is so situational, like all the time, it's so situational, and repetitions is how you get better at those. So from a personal standpoint, that's how I got better. So from being an eights guy, when did you start to like devalue that in comparison? Like, because you said scrims, you could just scrim and not play eights. Like my mindset, that goes against everything that I know about like getting better at COD, you know what I'm saying?
Well, so I don't know how to explain it like fast, but the biggest thing I would say is like, those jetpack games, the eights was the real game. Like, that's what you played. There wasn't much of a system. Like, jetpacks were, like, communication and, like, playing trades and, like, doing stuff with speed. Kind of how, like, Optic play now. Like, the Optic MW2 team, they would be good in jetpacks because they don't hesitate and they play together and they chow together. That's, in essence, like, what eights was. But, like, now a lot of these players, I feel like, a lot now, maybe it was like that back then and I didn't realize it, but like a lot of teams have systems. So if you are playing in a system, you're a system player. So then now you're playing eights. Like for example, like until recently, I didn't touch the hard point. So then I go play eights and then I'm playing with a whole team of people that don't touch the hard point. And then now no one's in the hard point and we're just losing. You know what I'm saying? So it's like practice. That's just an example. Like it's a lot of, like teams have systems and like play styles now. Whereas like, I feel like when I first like became a pro, like it wasn't as like developed. Like it was just everyone played the same, and like these were the players. Maybe it was like that, and I just didn't see it like that. But that's what I feel like is different now. People are doing like so much research, so much conversation about plays. Where I feel like as in AW, I just hopped on and played. Like we just we just ran around and hopped on and played. You know what I'm saying? We'll talk about a little bit of stuff. Like, yo, if we're in here, let's chow this together. But like now, it's just way more in depth. So I feel like eights, you lose. It's just random. Like you're just running around. Whereas in a scrim, like if you run around in a scrim, you throw your life away. Like your coach is gonna tell something, even if you know you already scammed. You know how many times I know I made a bad play, and I still gotta hear McGee telling you shouldn't have chowed right there. Like I don't want you to chow that gunfight. It's not a good gunfight. You know, shout out to McGee. I'm not trying to, you know what I'm saying? But like, I'm just saying, like even though I know, and I was like, I know, bro, I know. In eights, there's none of that. You just do some dumb shit and boom.
That's why I agree with you, Don. Like that's why me and Ant's take on this is completely different, because I believe that eights build bad tendencies. Like you learn some things that work in eights obviously don't work in team scrims. Like a guy that you could probably learn to play his play style, but like learning to play his play style when he's playing with his team is completely different, because he's probably going for that same child, but this time he's got a guy watching over him. So it's completely different. You're probably thinking that one-on-one gunfight is just like eights, and it's not. So I think like people who play eights, all right, it's good to get reps in, especially if you're one of the worst ones in the league. Yeah, you got to play the game. simply just play the game. I can understand your situation. For these teams at the top, teams that want to stay at the top, it's all about playing in your system. In my opinion.
But back in the day, though, like in our era, though, like eights were extremely beneficial because everybody's role on the map was like the same. Like in a jetpack game, you all did the same stuff. And then, like for example, like IW, if you had an NV4, it's like you're gonna go to that spot anyways. And there was only one on the team, so even in eights, like that guy was playing similar to what your main AR would do. So it's a lot different. But it's interesting to hear you say that, because I've heard some people are still on that side of like grind eights, sort of where my mentality is. And then there's some teams like Toronto Ultra who don't even play eights at all. At least what I heard. But for you, you've been grinding S and D chows. Now that's something I feel like definitely helps. Do you do that for content, or are you doing that to literally get better at S and D? Because in my mind, when I think of you and I think of Search, I don't think of like a god tier player, right? So I see you're working towards that.
That's why I played it. Cause like look, we've been really bad at control this year. Hardpoint, I would say at times really bad as well, just as bad as control. Like S&D, I think we have like the second best record in the league. Like
ridiculous.
I've never been on a search team this good. And of course we do have TJ, he's a god. Clay's had his like I've definitely just respect, like I don't know, like I used to not like kind of care about winning searches. Like, I don't know. I was just always on dominant hardpoint teams. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just made sure, especially in this game, because all the hardpoints come down to the wire, searches just bail you out. Like, we always have a chance because we win searches. You know what I'm saying? So, I just understand the importance. And, like, me, Tej, and Proloot, we grinded Cold War just, like, before we, like, we're teaming. Mm-hmm. And that really helped. Like, we just had natural, like, when we play Cold War, we literally just made, like, we obviously had, like, strats that we did before, but, like, the way we called them was unreadable. And like, we would just, let's do it. That's how we play. That's why it's so hard to, like, study VOD, because we're calling it in a different rhythm at all times. That's why we're calling stuff in a different rhythm at all times, and it's just plain. The more you play S&D, the more you have control of the rhythm, and the more you have, more you can read the rhythm.
Yeah,
that's what I always lacked. I never like can read the rhythm. Like I would always take over and search when the other team was just scamming. Like if the other team's scamming, I'm gonna drop 10 kills. You know what I'm saying? But like now I can read the rhythm and actually like clutch and make plays.
Another
like that's the biggest difference.
That's a huge thing in S&D. Like I feel like Jay, me and you, our approach to S&D, we were always a pretty solid search team, was like you try to set up stuff in the early rounds, right, to give you freedom later on in the game.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's something that you guys as Vegas have done so well. Like for example, I love the way that you guys play Asilo a lot of the times, because you guys will hard hit like right side satellite sometimes with the sniper stun open the door, and you'll set that play up, so they always got to prepare for it. And it's still like it's such a simple thing that has been around for so long, but it's so important in search and destroy, and it's something you guys do very well. Who comes up with your guys like search strats, or like for, I'm talking like the start off stuff, because obviously like you're saying you get in a flow and you're making these calls, but How are you guys coming up with the early game plays? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but in every series and every match versus every different team, excuse me, it's a different approach in the beginning of these rounds to set up what you want to do.
I feel like it's a different person. Like, recently, like, leading up to the event, like, probably our last split, we went 4-1, it was Clay a lot of the time. But before that, because me, Byron, and me, Prolute, and Tej, like, we played, like, it was more of just, like, Prolute. Like, Tej doesn't call an in-depth play. Tej will just say he has a feeling about something, and then that we should probably cater to that feeling. Because normally he has a read. Like, I remember there was one Fortress S&D. I think I ended with, like, 10 kills, and Tej was on pace for, like, 20. I think he ended with, like, 17 kills or something for Steve's. And, like, halfway through, I'm just like, Tej, what do you want to do? Like, you're reading the map right now. You were, like, 16-5. Like, what do you think we should do? That's probably what we should do. So, like, that's towards the end. But, like, initially, I would say Prolute a lot of the time, like, when he was on our team. And then once we, like, got those strats with Prolute, we know what to call now. We know it works. We know it doesn't work. So Clay can just go and call it. Like, now I would just say it's, like, it's kind of everyone. Kind of everyone. Yeah. Like, sometimes Clay's not feeling it, like, all the time. Like, you're not going to feel it all the time, so someone else has to step up.
Yeah.
I feel like the comfortability between you three, obviously, Prolute, Tej, and yourself, like, just playing those S&D tournaments, like, Clay has no problem being the guy that he is, the veteran that he's been around for mad long, like, just sitting back and being the island player. Like, you guys got your strats. All right, I'm going to go over here and watch this other angle. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's how it was working out for y'all. Now, with, obviously, Prolute not being on the roster, you already got those strats developed. So, like, you're going into these mid-map setups right off the rip of these games, these defaults, just getting the feel of how they play. But y'all already know because y'all strategies are already there. Now y'all have chemistry between each other. So now everybody can call the call. So that's good development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's good. You guys have been great at the game mode. Mm-hmm. I mean, up until the major, like, throughout the split, you guys were the best search team without a doubt.
Yeah, we were.
No, I don't know. You can't. Atlanta Faith. Come on, fellas. Like,
no, they were. No, we were
scrimming Faze and we were beating them in every search. The way we lost the search, the game five versus Florida, is just because Eli never ran an AR for his old team, so we tried to slot him in, and he didn't understand, like, the technicality of watching the cross, so they were just crossing the bomb for free. Obviously, that's not why we...
Closed stairs?
Yep. From back... We were watching it from closed, right? But if you dolphin dive at a certain angle and you're only looking at it from the crack, you're diving over the crack spot. You know what I'm saying? Man. So, but I can't... You can't even fault him because he never watched the cross all year. He just joined our team and was trying to be, like, a good teammate.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you guys need me to wash the cross? Okay, I'll wash the cross. And then it ended up biting us in the ass, of course, but we were really good in search. We've been really good in search.
Talk to me about the game five just a little bit. I know we're most of this is non-topical, but this is important because I saw y'all hitting through close and going into side door. I think listen. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Listen, I can't be.
I think it was three times. It was at least two times.
It was twice.
Okay.
It was twice. That play is awful.
Two. We did it at
that
five. Three
for the time. That play is
awful. Yo, bro.
So, Don, listen. We live and we learn. But, like, in the moment, why? Like, what did they see in the defense, or I guess the offense, that you would want to risk your defense like that? I wanted to ask.
No, that was me. I didn't see nothing. I was just gassing up. I don't like to call people off. So, if someone calls something, yo, let's do it like this, da da da. I'm like, okay, bet. Okay, then you know what you're talking about. Uh-huh, so I'm gonna just say, all right, bet, let's do it. Someone second guessed it. Like, I can't remember who second guessed it, but someone's like, I don't really want to do it. I think it was Eli because he was 3-0. So he's 3-0. He doesn't want to dolphin dive through a doorway. He's like, I don't really want to do it. I said, nah, fuck that. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Lost instantly. Instantly lost the round. That's my I'm just trying to support my man's call. Yeah. Like, I want us to be decisive. Mm-hmm. But that play is horrible. That's a horrible strat. I ain't gonna lie.
That's just tough. It's only horrible in a game five. Like, in a game two, I'm cool with it, especially if you smoke them game one. Don, you know, like, the old, I hate to give him credit, but I'm going to give it to him anyway. The old Patrick Price play style, it's like, you have your search strats, this and that, it's cool. But when it gets to game five and the later rounds, you default every time. That was the Patrick Price road to victory. And he did that. And he won so many game fives, even when his S&E teams weren't good. So it was like, damn, man, I wish they would have did that. Because, I mean, obviously, I'm non-biased as a caster or as an honor talent. But I was rooting for you guys because of the story. Like, I want to keep it alive. I think everybody was. So it was a tough moment. How did y'all bounce back after that? Because obviously you're scrimming now. Things are looking good.
Yeah.
There had to be something in between, right? Like a discussion or a VOD session. Like,
so we had a talk. So I think we all stormed off except for, I think everyone stormed off except for me, Naga Finn, and Clay. And we're just talking, obviously, like, wow, I can't believe we lost that 5-2 lead. Like, you just, you know, right after you choke, you're just talking about it in circles.
Yep, every time.
And McGee just says, yo, before everyone goes and, you know, gets drunk or has fun, whatever, like, let's talk about it as a team. So we talked about as a team, and we basically broke down the whole event, not even the matches, just our approach to everything. Just being more positive in scrims, making comebacks is like, we're so good at making like comebacks, like, and fighting back and like winning close games. It's just our problem is, I think we get a little annoyed that we have to do it so much. So then we just don't feel like doing it, if that makes sense. Like, I got to come back from 100 again. Like, whenever we just lock in and just try to keep fighting, even if things are going wrong, we win way more maps. Yeah. So that's a lot on me and Clay. Gee had to say, you know, just the tough conversations. Like, we talked about getting nervous. Like, I feel like we, from the moment we sat down at that event, we, I don't know if we were nervous. There could be a different reason, but like, we, it was off in the scrims. Like, we were just taking turns. Someone, it wasn't just one person. We were just taking turns getting slammed, like not kind of slammed, like super slammed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you just knew, and we just went 4-1. So you knew something was just off. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
basically just not giving up. We just got to keep fighting, man. We just got to keep fighting. And that's been our main focus.
What was it like after like the end of the qualifiers? Y'all go 4-1, y'all get winner's bracket for the first time in franchise history. Like, where's the mindset at for the team? Because I know y'all going into the event like, all right, we went 4-1. We got what it takes to give ourselves a nice little separation to get some good points to go into champs. Like, what was the difference between that conversation right after stage and then before you got, well, I guess during the major? Like, what was the difference there? Because you guys look so good online. And then when you got to the major, everything just went to
It's the truth.
I got you. Like, listen, bro. Friendly fire. That's the name of the show.
It's the truth. Like, I think we were focused. I think we could have been more focused. I think I've had this happen before, like last year as well. Like, the flanks right behind us, the scump and them are right behind us. There's people walking around. You know how me and Clay get in a scrim environment. If we're doing bad plays, we need to be able to express our frustration, address it, be ourselves. And I feel like that environment, that's why I think it's like a nerve and like a land thing. The environment just wasn't good for us. And I don't know. We got to figure it out. I mean, we're going to land again. Like, literally we went 4-1, we lost. I'm like, yo, at least we're good online. Like, we have been gross online.
Yeah, you have been.
Like,
Don,
so that's good.
Yeah, it is good. Don, you're so honest, like yourself and your team. I love that. And I feel like other teams won't admit that, but like, it's a weird environment that you guys are in when you're in Belong. I mean, you got, like you said, you got the flank right there. You got Skump behind you. You got the other pro teams and people watching you. And there is the element of like, it's the same exact thing of like, you don't want
to embarrass each other.
You don't want to stream your scrims because you don't want to embarrass each other. And that's like sort of like the same mentality. And it's like, it's such a different environment. Like, talk to me about like, because like you said, for you and Clay, it's like weird. How did you manage that? Because obviously the second series was way better than the first. Did you guys address it at all? Or was it like just like unspoken? Like, it was just in the
McGee
back of your head?
McGee told me, like, McGee is probably my favorite coach of all time because like, he is annoying. He does piss me off, but he tells me what I need to hear. So he just says, yo, at a 0.4 the first day, like, he's like, or the first match versus New York, he's like, yo, like, bro, you just gotta make that set up your bitch, like, be yourself. So when I pulled up next morning, like, before I was trying, I woke up before Tej, I didn't want to play music to wake him up. I woke up in the morning, I'm blasting music in the bathroom. Like, I said, bro, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm gonna do my own routine. I'm gonna be myself. Like, even on the station, like in the warm-up scrims, I'm bringing up plays. I'm like, yo, what the fuck are we doing? Like, we got to do this. We got to do this. We got to play with some fucking teamwork. Like, before, I didn't want to do that because there's people, Skumps right behind us. Like, even the clip of Skump where you can hear us. We're right. We're literally right next to them. Yeah, so I don't want to be on a stream with 100,000 viewers. Eli, why the fuck didn't you watch the back? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So the next day, I was just myself completely. So
well, that's good. You performed way better on the second day.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, you know, just a tough tournament. Man. Like, you guys choked. You put that behind you. You got this next split coming up. And Jay, we were talking about it. They have the hardest schedule, right?
The hardest. Do you know who
they have in this next split?
They play, the first game is Optic Texas. Their second game is New York Subliners. Their third game is Atlanta FaZe. Their fourth game is Minnesota, really important one. And then the last game is Seattle. That's like, what, 4 to 5 top 6 teams in the league that they have to play? And then the Minnesota one is just like a...
I will say we match up good versus a couple of them. Dude. My New York, I've been getting every time I play New York this year, I've gotten slammed. Like, I think my three worst series this year are versus New York. So I'm like looking forward to that match. That's what was my mindset to the last match. Mm-hmm. Like, I gotta get them once.
I gotta get them.
You know what I'm saying? So,
Don, why? why do you have trouble? Because you don't usually have trouble against like anybody. Like, you're the guy who, like, even from last year, I've always respected because you always do your thing. And always. With
I don't know
versus
why
them,
I get
though,
slammed
why?
Versus them. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like their team is really good. I think they have really good, talented players. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to overthink it. That was my mindset before. I've thought this, like, damn, why am I only getting slammed versus New York? Like, I've slammed FaZe, like, or we lost to FaZe, but I've played good versus probably every single team this year except for New York. I've played really, really poor. So that's me personally. Like, and I see the schedule, I'm like, all right, New York, I got to do something.
That one circled on the calendar, bro. Like,
yeah.
I tell you, you definitely gonna do something different in a 0.4 for sure. It's gonna be a lock. Don't worry about it, Don. The 0.4, that's it. First time ever in your history.
So, Don,
step it the fuck up, bro.
So I had it on here. Which match is most important? I feel like the Minnesota one obviously is, but for you, it's that New York one, right?
For
like
me,
you,
it's New York, but it's gotta be. Obviously, Seattle, I feel like personally we match up incredible versus them, incredibly. But it's just more of me and T's are really good friends with Pred, so you just got to win that. Minnesota, of course, they're right there. But New York, FaZe, I have so much respect for FaZe. Like, I feel like they're the team where I play, I just go the hardest. One is because when we're playing online, our pings are so similar, so I don't got that excuse. And then I already have respect for them, like everything they've accomplished, so. And Optic's the best. Like, it's just, I don't know. I like these matches. I like.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I feel like you talk about all these other teams. I feel like your first matchup, like versus a team like Optic, who just got second again at the last major. Like, this is a big matchup for y'all because obviously you guys fumbled at the major, but this is the time to right the wrongs. Like, start off this stage hot. And versus a team like Optic Texas, you beat them, bro. The confidence level is through the roof. You could beat anybody in the rest of the stage. So I think the big one is like that first game for sure.
Oh, I agree,
100%. Don, you guys, obviously your search has been great. You can still 2 versus anybody. The hard point, you guys have like your maps that are good. Like Embassy, not many people want to meet you guys on Embassy. You guys are solid there. In the control, it's like, it's been tough, brother, all year long. But Expo got added. You guys are looking pretty good at that. Talk to me about the control and like the efforts there, like trying to improve, obviously, at the major versus New York. Didn't go that great. You guys bounce back, though, and it seems like control is getting to a better place. Like, Asilo and Expo are going to be in the mix for y'all going forward.
Yeah, we're getting better. We're really good at Expo. It makes no sense. Like, we slam on Expo, like, 9 out of 10 times. Like, it's actually crazy. Like, we're so good at that map, and we're probably not going to get it in any of our series.
Yeah.
You got to be good at Asilo, and it's weird because, like, even our coach, he'll ask, like, all right, you know how McGee talks. Y'all team with McGee. Yeah. All right, how do I get you guys to do the same thing you do on Expo on the other maps? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the truth, though. And it's like, then we go, Clay goes, well, that map is so simple. Like, I always know where people are. Like, the spawns, there's only 2 spawns. That's the same thing on the other maps. It's literally the same thing. Like, why is it not working? And it's just, I don't know. I think there's a little bit of PTSD in our heads when we play control. Because we'll do, especially in scrims, you see it more in scrims than in the matches, we'll play around, not flawlessly, but pretty good until it's crunch time or the final play. And then it's like, oh my God, we just mess up. We're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So we like choke. Like in scrims, it's more of like sometimes in matches, we just get blown out. We never have a chance to win the round. But in scrims, it's a lot of like chokes, like choking. Like, how did we just lose that round? It was like 18, 13 lives. Like, can we just stay alive? Like, stuff like that.
Also, so it's just different.
It's so frustrating. Like,
the maps are different though. Like, I feel like for you guys, Expo works pretty well because, like, I don't know. Like Clay said, it's easier to find people on those maps. Like on a CeeLo, for example, if a guy pops Deddy and he's in your bottom pool, or if he's in your bottom tool, and it's a Hydra or it's a Pred or a Shotzi, you're not fine. Like Donnie, you are not going to be able to kill that guy unless he scams, right? Like you have an AR attack, you can't kill him. So it's just a lot more difficult on the on Expo. It's easier to as an AR to get in those engagements and fight them because once they cap stage, it's whatever. But once they're on A, it's like, okay, where are you going to be? You're going to be on pillar. I can just go all the way deep sauna. So it's like, I guess it's more so on like your guys playing your life as SMGs, which is something that has been a struggle all year long. Is the SMGs playing their life and then like not dying in chains. Every time I watch you guys play a CeeLo control, that happens. The guy dies their bottom base and then the AR gets overwhelmed and you guys spawn out and they stack and cap. Like,
yeah, how have you, every time, yeah.
Yeah, how, like in your head, because obviously you're always in the respawn and I watch you guys scream, you have a big voice, you're vocal, trying to fix problems. What are you trying to tell the team to like fix those instances?
That's a good question. There's not much to say. Like, we're all good players, right? Eli made an 0-4 comeback and won a championship. TJ's won championships. Clay is a 3-time. Like, it's more of like, we know. Like, I just say basic stuff like, yo, stay alive. Get a kill. Like, we know what to do in conversation. So it's just, there's nothing you can really do other than change your mentality and just hope for the best and be positive about it. Like, you can't. We know, like every time we talk about plays, most of the time it's like, I know. And then people don't want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? So my approach recently, like even like a few days ago after we lost, I texted Clay. I was like, we just got top 12. We got to set the tone. I don't give a damn if we're toxic. I tried that approach for a day. It didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. And then all my coaches said, Don, you got to stop being toxic. You got to be positive.
Then
now, since they told me that, I've been positive every day. You know what I'm saying? I see dumb shit. I just shut up. Cause it's like, we know. Like, if we're making careless mistakes, man, we just need to lock it in. There's nothing else really to talk about.
No, that's fair. Last thing on that topic is like, would you say control is still the primary focus? Or have you guys sort of like, is it everything? Like, what are you guys honing
it's
in on right now?
A lot too. Hard point break offs. When we lose the break off and we go down by a lot, it's bad. It's really bad. Controls, I feel like we're more consistent in control right now than hardpoint. Like hardpoint, we're either the best or the worst. Like, and it spirals. Like we'll lose a break off on Hydro and now we're just down 100. Now we're sighing. Now we don't want to come back. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just
because you've been there so much. Yeah. It's just that effort. Yeah. It's like, oh, here we go again. Here I got to hit this again. Long roto and I got to gun this guy.
P2, bro. Yeah. I got 3 trophies, bro.
Yo, Don, listen. I said this to Jay the other day. We're playing ranked and I'm like, dude, Jay, you know what sucks, man? When you get smoked off the break off and you don't get your fast hands for like another kill.
Yeah, that's the worst.
I promise you, you getting into them gunfights right off the rip of the game. One or two of them, you got a stun or a nade in your hand, bro.
It's the worst. I'm like, these guys are literal superheroes for the next 2 hills or until I get a 3-piece. It's like the worst feeling ever. Yeah, breakups are very important. And
very important.
I've noticed you guys do go down a lot. Aside from Embassy, y'all frying on that map. Any other maps in Hardpoint you're trying to work on right now? Like, you really trying to add to your repertoire? Hydro, Hotel, you guys have always been all right at. You start off down on that map a lot.
I feel like we focused on Fortress. Like, we, at first, like, when we had 2 Real and Pro Loot, we couldn't play Fortress. Like, we couldn't even get, like... Like, now, I don't think we're, like, the greatest at Fortress, but, like, we at least are competitive on it, like, every day. Like, I feel like Fortress, we're definitely a much better on... Our Hydro, we've had times in the year where we're way better at Hydro. But now I would say Fortress. If I had to choose one map we've gotten like much better at, because I feel like Eli, one thing he added is like those hills where you could just take over with a sub. Yeah. He's really, he's a hard kill. He's a very, very talented player and a very hard kill. I feel like just that extra like slaying power on Fortress, like that's the map on this game, in my opinion, where it's like, okay, if a sub can just drop, or anyone, AR can drop 40 as well, but like people can take over on that map.
Yeah, you can.
And I feel like he just added takeover power to our team for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, go ahead, Jay.
Right. No, I was going to say, I completely agree with you, man. Like, adding Fortress to your repertoire, that's exactly what you want to do. Expanding your map pool going to the later half of the year, especially versus a couple of teams that don't really like to play some Fortress, or they usually just let that one slip on by, you're able to pick it. So that's going to now cause some hiccups, because like you said, with your SMGs that you got now, they're actually able to slay. We saw it firsthand when Stanley played it recently. Like, guy went on like a 13 streak or something like that. And I know you guys got the fundamentals on play. You and Clay as the ARs, y'all will win those rotations. So I'm excited to see you guys added that to your map pool. But still, my concern, Don, is definitely that control, bro. Like, with teams right now, knowing that you are only, like, your best map is Expo, they auto-veto that versus y'all. Yeah. And then y'all, they toss it up between the other two, man. So that is usually, that's where, in my opinion, the series really matters for y'all. Like, that's where it needs to turn around.
Hey, we're working. We're working. I mean, hey, we know we are terrible at control. We've been working. I can't promise anything, but we have been much better at it. Like, that's all I can say. Like, we've been much better at it.
And it's not like the rules for it changed drastically, because it's not like y'all were one of the best control teams in the beginning of the game. This has been in y'all struggle all year. Y'all been preaching the same exact shit. And sometimes nitpicking the entire time, it messes up your gameplay in certain aspects when you're playing on that stage.
But they've been doing good without even winning those, which is crazy. So they start winning. Yeah, how much different it would be.
Like, but yeah, just a little more icy up. A little icy with that NDD
round. I want to switch. So we talked about like the topical stuff, Jay. You know, let's talk about like the just overarching stuff in your career and all that. Obviously, one
let's
of the big
back, Don.
We'll just talk about it all. The one thing I have on here that I want to talk about is, like, I feel like fans and stuff don't understand how hard it is to actually win an event. A lot of them do now because it's grown a lot, but you used to get a lot of shit for, like, you never won a big major LAN, right? For you, you've been close a couple of times. Talk to me about, like, when you felt like you were in the best position to win a major, and like what went wrong during that time. Like, let's take a blast from the past.
Black Ops 4 for sure. Black Ops 4. The first two events, we got third. We were, in my opinion, we were the best team there, and we just broke down really, really hard. We choked like 100 something point lead on Seaside with, at the time, that was the only event where you could use AI score streaks.
Wait, what team? What team was this? I'm trying to remember.
Splice.
Oh yeah.
Bro. So Don was had, the game.
Yeah, he was
the
Don.
We had Stealth Chopper. We had the Drone Squad. We had Streaks. We had Specialists. I had War Machine. Flak Jacket didn't work properly. Like, we had all. We had literally everything to bail us out, and we still managed to choke it. Fort Worth.
We got the second there. Oh, I remember
We got second, but we got kind of slammed. I don't know what happened that event, honestly. I don't know. But those two events, I feel like if little things go different, especially the first one, even though we got third the first one, like, we got slammed by Optic and Winners. We choked the reverse sweep. So we went up 2-0 versus Optic and Winners Finals, and then Optic won three straight. And then now my teammates are demoralized, and we lost to E-United in Losers Finals.
Yeah, it's tough.
If we just win one more map versus Optic, that was back when you had to lose twice. We weren't losing twice.
Mm.
We were not losing twice. We were playing too well. Jerd, like, even though I was really, really good, Jerd was incredible. Looney was incredible before the crack game. He was incredible. Looney was incredible. Jerd, Yuli, Aqua. Aqua was a top five AR. And for COD for multiple years.
He was nasty at S&D too. People forget. He was disgusting at S&D.
Our team was gross. Lamar's still in the league now. He had to have been pretty decent back then. Like, we were gross. We just broke down really hard. So I think that was the one that was like complete.
Wait, what happened? I'm trying to see what happened. So you guys had Hook. My memory is so bad, bro. You guys had Hook, and then
that was at the end of the year. So we choked, right? Two events. Then we went to London and got top 12. Then I had an offer. I actually had a situation where we could either, I was trying to join LG, which was like Gunless, Formal, I think Gunless hated his team or something, so I was trying to join for Gunless.
That was
or
when he was doing the sit out shit. Remember?
Yeah, whatever the case might be. Or we get Hook. And I don't know. We ended up, once we got Hook, like Hook is one of those situations where like he's such a good player and like we should have got him, but then we had too many sub players. So like we probably dropped the wrong person. We probably should have kept Lamar. But at the time, Lamar was not playing well, like at all. And he got sick. So he got sick at London. When we got top 12, he played really, really bad. So it was just like bad timing. He got sick. He didn't play well. It's like, damn. And we just need to get Hook. Like, why would we not take Hook? And then we ended up playing worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, go ahead, Jay.
I was going to say, I remember when y'all made that roster change and Hook saw it a lot. I was sitting there on the desk like, yo, I ain't going to lie. They about to win everything. Yeah,
that's exactly what it was. There's a clip of me saying that.
Completely opposite everything that happened, man. I just couldn't believe it with my own eyes, for real.
There was a clip of me saying that, and I was like, damn. I don't know how this team didn't work. I asked you about these instances where you got really, really close, Don, because is it something that you think about of like, because of all like the great COD players who've been around for a long time, you're the guy, you're the Charles Barkley, like the guy who didn't get the chip right now.
That's
right.
Tough.
But
it's the truth. It's the truth though. It's tough.
Yeah. It's the truth. Yeah. And I asked this cause like, I know like for me, even at times, like I was thinking, I was like, man, I didn't close out champs. Like we got smoked in the finals. Like these little things. I'm like, damn, how different it would have been. And you would think about these types of things when you're competing. How do you shut out those negative thoughts? Or is it something that you even think about at all in terms of legacy?
Oh, I used to a lot. I used to think about it a lot. I can't give you a pinpoint moment when I didn't or when I stopped thinking about it, but like those thoughts definitely aren't like overwhelming in my head anymore. I definitely used to think about it a lot.
Yeah.
I used to like care a lot. But like about what random people say. Now I care about more what like my teammates say or like my coaches say. Like, my coaches will give me my flowers. Like, my teammates have given me my flowers multiple times this year. Like, yo, you're doing so much better. You're so much more mature. Yeah. You're doing this good. So that matters a lot more to me now than it used to. And so then, since that matters more, I feel like the other, like, a lot of the times I will say this, even with, like, my music, like, I'm getting roasted on, like, YouTube comments or Reddit. It's like, you might as well, if you're going to tweet me, I'll see it. If you roast me in my Twitter mentions. So all for all trolls, follow me on Twitter. You roast me on my Twitter mentions, I'ma see it. But if you roast me on Reddit and all that, I'm not gonna see it. You know what I'm saying? I just don't even check it.
Yeah.
Like, the only time I'll check like the Flank or the Reddit is if I'm frying. That's just what I do.
Of course.
If I just dropped a 2.0, hold on, let me go peep Reddit real quick. Little 2.0. Hold on, son. You know what I'm saying? But like if I get fried, you think I was on Reddit when I had a 0.4?
No, but I was, and it was not good.
It's just over with. I don't give a damn what they got to say.
Yeah, you can't look at that type of negative stuff. And also, that was like a thing back in the day where people were talking about like getting the chip and stuff. I feel like everybody recognizes how difficult it is and like how you have to, like all the dominoes have to fall into the right place, especially in today's day and age of Call of Duty. Right. Like there's no easy route to getting a win.
I don't know.
Right. But for you, like it's very much still in the realm of possibility. I feel like you're now in the peak of your skills. Like, even though you've been playing for so long, like you're a vet, bro. It's been 9 years now. You're just young.
I would say overall as a player, like as a teammate, like overall, I feel like I've gotten better. Sure. I mean, back then, I feel like talent wise, there's people that can like match my talent for sure. Mm. But I feel like overall as a complete player, I feel like I'm better at search. I'm still good at respawn, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, I'm still growing as a teammate, as a player, everything. I'm still learning every day.
Yeah, I think that's what you said all the way in the beginning of the episode when you said about going from an ace player to now a team player. And now with you having a couple of years behind your belt playing some team games, you understand like how you need to develop as a person to communicate with certain players, how you need to develop in your communication when it comes to end game and how you need to attack when things aren't going your way. How do you attack certain situations that don't allow it to escalate to a whole different level, man? And I feel like that's just you growing up, maturing, understanding your situation, knowing that this is what you want to do. You've always wanted to do this, and now you're doing it at the highest level, and you ain't got time for all that little kid shit anymore, bro. So
100%.
Big, I take my hat off to you, Don, because
I appreciate that.
A lot, my brother.
I appreciate that, for real.
I do, too. And it's crazy, because, like, Jay, you had to do the same thing, kind of like,
that he did. Like, my shit was late though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just a different era. Like, you did it. Like, if there was a CDL, it would have been as drastic as Don's was. Because the CDL kind of like forces you to do that, especially in the situation that Don was in, because he's on Legion. It's like, all right, I need some teammates. Like, we got to turn this whole franchise around. That's another thing. Like, that's crazy. Did you feel the weight of the Legion franchise on your back? Like, how did, how was that? That had to be a lot, brother.
Me personally, this is another reason why, like, I'll always, McGee's my favorite coach ever. Just him, even though he pisses me off and he's annoying sometimes, just him believing in me majority of the time. He probably hasn't believed in me at some moments, but, you know, that's as expected. Like, for the most part, he's always believed in me and just given me the opportunity. So it's like putting that battery in your back. Like, yeah, I might be, it's kind of like, damn, you're the superstar for, like, a team that's getting smoked. But, like, he would give me that, I don't know, I felt like, okay, like, I'm a star. I got to turn up. Like, in Vanguard, I think I was a kind of a toxic teammate in Vanguard, but my effort level was absurd, like, for how bad we were. Like, and I think they also, like, kept me just believing. Like, it's stuff that you don't want to hear, like, right? Like, Don, like, I'm going to be honest, Don, like, we suck right now. We're probably going to lose, but you got to go hard. You got to do your best, and you can't just give up.
No, that's good, bro.
So he's definitely really helped with that. And even if I don't play under him again, like, I just always appreciate him for giving me the chance to turn it around, to fight back. You know, he's given me that opportunity to fight back. So,
not gonna lie, bro, it is so hard to still believe in yourself when your team's getting cooked, right? But you did that, bro, and you stayed still playing really good. So I just had to ask, bro, because it's tough. Like, and I'm sure, Jay, you have follow-up to this, I'm sure, because, like, we've been in this situation, like, on different teams as well.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, Don, like, when you find yourself in that situation, like, from a coach perspective, from an outside viewer perspective, like, Dill's probably sitting there looking at it like, this guy's got all the talent in the world. Like, you can't teach talent. You can teach attitude. You can't teach talent. So that's great support out of your coach, man. Like you said, your favorite coach ever. Good guy, great friend of mine, man. Shout out to Bill Theory.
Bro, all right. So, Don, we're going to ask some harder questions. Not the official friendly fire segment. We're getting to the next one. Jay, why don't you go ahead? You got the doc open, Jay?
Yeah. Where we at? Where we at?
You see the below the music part? I want you to kick off that first one. Me and Jay.
All right, bro. All right, Don, listen, bro. Like, this is usually hard, bro. From a player perspective, bro, this is hard to try to tell, but we trying to look for an answer. We trying to dig it out of you. Okay. Who do you look as the player in your eyes is your GOAT?
Your GOAT, not the GOAT. Not who did you look GOAT, to? Like, this GOAT. Guy, I love the way he plays. Things like that. I'm going to take stuff from his play style. Like, who do you respect most?
Copy his play style. I don't feel like I copy my GOAT's play style anymore. I copy, like, right now, I try to steal shit from, like, Celium.
All right, so but as I'm mostly talking though, about, who's your GOAT? Who's your GOAT?
Probably Skump. I'll say Skump. Like, I always believed in pre-aiming. Like, I think, like, before, like, that was my idea of COD. Like, if you could always keep your gun up, obviously you can't walk around the map aimed in at all times. It's just understanding the timings of the game and keep your gun up at right moments. That's how I initially, like, respected, like, that's how you're gonna get kills, like, in the old games, like ghost, right? If your gun is up at the right time, you pull the trigger first, you're gonna get the kill.
100%.
I feel like Skump, like, all time, like, he to me was, like, before, like, all these new players, like, I think Simp is also really good at that, but Skump was, like, the first one where I feel like he was just incredible at it. Like, he just understand the timing of the kill, understood the timings of the kill so well. So I would try to, like, copy that, like, all right, when I'm playing, don't get caught sprinting. That was back, like, on 360 Xbox One. Like, you get caught sprinting, like,
it's over.
You're not getting the kill. It's over with. Yeah. So I that's one thing I definitely focused on. As a pro player, I liked Formo a lot because whenever I played against him, he would always play well. I never really, like, tried to copy Formo. Like, it was jetpacks. You know what I'm saying? So it was just, we got to win a gunfight. You know what I'm saying? I never really, you know. But Formo as a pro, like, the person I played against where I'm like, damn, he's frying my team, it was Formo. Formo was always frying our team. Every time we played him in AW, he's frying, like, bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really, really good answer. And the pregame thing, I agree. Like, Skump was, like, the guy, he was always on his pre-game, and he had like next level anticipation. Yeah. So he knew where everybody was coming from back when we had red dots on the mini map. It was way better. But he was really good at just like, I'm pre-aiming kitchen, kills me, and then the next guy's coming out of here, I'm gonna kill him. Like, he was super good at that, and it was always so hard to play against. And there were players that were like that. There was also players who would come out of sprint, use the steady aim, try to get the hip fire. Yeah. Like, Nato was more of a player like that, like the Natos and the Zumas, and those guys were super hard to deal with. But Skump's play style and that, and like that in certain games was unreal, it was bro. It was incredible. Yeah, in certain
games, it was incredible. Yes.
And I feel like when I watch, like, at least when I played against Seth, when I watched him over the couple of years, you know what I'm saying? Like, what made him so good is that, like, it makes it seem like he's so damn fast on the map. But he just knows the timing every time to get a kill. So he's just getting that kill, taking more ground. And I think a perfect example who does that now in this era right now is Pred. Like, Pred is a guy that's always on
his pre-aim. He's on his pre-aim a lot.
I love those play styles out of those kids.
Yeah.
That's the most consistent place. One last thing about that. The most consistent one.
I agree.
All the best sub players, they're doing it. All the best AR players, they're doing it. It's the most consistent one.
Yep. It's about getting a kill, taking position. Moving on.
So, Don, since you're on topic of sub players, it just popped in my mind. It's like for the longest, I feel like it's been the Tiny Terrors are unbelievable sub duo, and they still are. I mean, those guys are ridiculous. But there's other subs now that are like really stepping up to the plate. Like, it's advancing. Like, the next generation is here. Like, we got Hydra. We got Pred, Shotzi's getting better, Hook is getting better, and there's other SMGs on other teams as well.
Prep is good.
Like, some of these challenges, guys, it's like some stuff I've never seen in the way that, like, mind-hand control, like, what they're doing on the map is crazy. So talk to me, like, who is, like, the most impressive to you right now in the SMG position? Who's the most impressive SMG in the league?
I would say Abizi.
Sure, absolutely.
Still,
you can.
I would still say Abizi. That 1v4 is incredible. His consistency in search is incredible. His hard point, incredible. I think their team is actually probably, like, I don't know how to say this, because they still are a top three team, but it's technically the worst they've looked in years, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And he is better than he's been in years, in my opinion, since Cold War. Like, he's better at this game than Vanguard. He's incredible at this game. I think he is their best player. He's incredible.
Yeah.
I think he's just constantly making plays. He's constantly setting pace. He's great.
What's good with that team? Like, because you got Abizi, you got Simp, who's like still playing good. You got Slasher, who he's doing his thing. They're good at S&D. And Celium is like, I mean, I have on here a question like, who's the hardest kill? I figure you would say Celium. Is that true?
Yeah, Celium or Dashi.
Yeah, because they just shoot unbelievably straight. And then
the thing is with Brandon, I would say Brandon. I'll give it to Brandon personally in this game. Brandon's the only player in this game who, like, he's actually like, he'll rip me. Like, Cell's not ripping me. Like, Dashi literally will just walk at you and rip you. Cell is hard to kill in a spot, but Dashi's hard to kill everywhere. Like, he's just shooting at
all times.
That's
a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
Why is that? Is it because he's not missing?
That's just, I mean, bro, come on, man. You know, hey, that boy's breathing fire. He is.
I did not like playing against him, bro.
You know what I'm talking about. That boy's not missing, bro. He's breathing fire.
He's hitting you with five, knowing you dropping, bro.
Bro, He's turned. He's good. Bro,
and his, like, you know, you just talked about that pre-aim stuff, like how that elevates you as a player. Obviously, as an AR, you're under pre-aim, but it's the reaction time. You shoot first, you get that kill. Dashi shoots first. Like, he's so fast. Think about that four piece, like, where it was at Fortress. The only way he did it is because he literally shot first every single time. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So for you, Don, in your AR matchups, like, who are some of the tougher ones outside of Dashi who gives you, like, a big challenge like that?
Dashi's the only one. Dashi and Scrappy are the only ones to me that, like, are gunning. Well, Sib, too. I feel like Dashi, Scrappy, Sib are, like, shooting-wise. But, like, those are not the ones who I have the most problems with, honestly. The ones I have the most problem with, yes. The ones I have the... Because, like, Sib, he shoots so good. His guns go so good. But he'll chow you. So he'll not use the cover. the ones who just don't move are probably the ones that kill me the most, honestly. Like Brack.
Really?
And say, no, for real, because they're not moving.
Yeah.
So then on a day-to-day basis, like scrimming, like if they're just not moving, I'll get bored. Like sometimes, I know it sounds bad to say, but I'm just saying in a scrim, I'll be like, I'm just going to chow them.
Yeah.
I'm dead. Now I'm dead for free. You know what I'm saying? So that's normally like who I have the most trouble with, like stuff like that.
Yeah. I can
who
see
you think
sure.
is the easiest matchup though for you, Don? Talk to me about that one. I see. I hear the struggling, but who the easier?
Lamar, Austin. Thieves are actually, I feel like I play very well versus Thieves because they chow.
Okay.
Like they chow, which is the right play, but like I know how they play. Like very, like I know how they play.
So
when they chow me, I kill them.
Added context is because I know chat that's gonna get clipped and stuff. It's as a competitor, there are people that you just play well against. Like you know them. Yeah. I have people like that too, and I always get trolled. People laugh because I was like, dude, when I like Clay, for example, I just feel like I always had his number. Like when I played against some certain people, Slasher, same thing. But like obviously those guys are better players than me, right? And like for you, not that you're saying those guys are better players than you, but there's people that you just have their number or you feel like you're comfortable against them. What I know what caused it for me, but for you, why what causes that? Like that extra confidence against them. Like
well, I used to team with Kenny. I used to team with Slasher. Like I've teamed on the Thief. Like I just know how they work. I know how they think about things. So I could just like, for example, like when we're playing against the Thieves, right? I know they're going into it, their exact mindset. They think they're better than us. Yeah. They're not going to get creative with the vetoes. There's no need to get creative with the vetoes if you're better than the other team, right? So I just know, like, I know what to expect. I know if I'm in a 1v1 with Lamar, he likes to just hop the bomb because he has no dead silence on half the time. He doesn't want to get sound hoarse, so he's just going to hop the bomb. And hopping the bomb is really good in this game. Lamar's been doing that for 7 years. Lamar was doing that in games where it wasn't good to hop the bomb. So I know he's gonna do it in the game where it's the best to hop the bomb.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, people don't talk about that type of stuff. You know, this is why I think it's super interesting to hear it from a guy who's currently playing right now, like matchups and stuff like that. Because it's so weird. You see Thieves go out, they win a tournament, you know, they dominate, but then we watched them tournament before. And it's like versus Legion, Don is dropping 1.3. You know, it's always matchups, bro. Jay, you know this. It's always matchups are everything.
Yeah, I know. Every time I matched up versus you, brother, you know how that turned out. You know that one, Don?
Yeah, I got that boy home.
You only played me like
a quick thing
times.
To say. Can I take a 1 minute break real quick?
Yeah, do your thing, right, brother. Right, I'm going to get a water.
Yes, bro. How are you?
I'll get a water.
I'll get a water too.
Guys, listen, we still have a decent amount left in this episode. We got a fun segment coming up. For those of you that are in here on my stream, Jay is also live. kick.com/study with two Y's, bro. Make sure you go show him some love.
Yeah, we live. We live everywhere, man. First episode, eh?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to figure out the best way to like run these episodes. Obviously, it's free flowing and like there's a bunch of topics. Yeah. But we'll get it on point going forward. I hope you guys have enjoyed it so far, though. Been a while since I've done this. Glad to have you here, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to be a part of this, man. You know, the legendary podcast. Used to watch you do it all the time, my brother.
Lit,
now we bring it back with a little bit of extra little friendly fire. This is good, man. This ain't the outro, by the way, guys. This ain't the outro.
No.
I know. We're just waiting for Don to get back. There's a little downtime, you know, a little downtime. Appreciate the moment. Just appreciate the moment.
Yeah, we've had so many different topics and discussions here. My editor is going to lose his mind when he has to put timestamps. When he has the topic, he needs to put timestamps. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, guys, we got some stuff coming. I know if you guys are OG listeners, you remember we did call-ins and stuff like that. Those will be a part of this. I think literally next episode we're going to do call-ins, so that'd be dope. Not for this one, though. Oh, I could put a friendly fire up here. Welcome back, brother. All right, Don. So another thing I have on here. Yeah, had to get right.
Yo, I was shaking for like 15 minutes, yo. I couldn't hold that shit anymore. That was crazy.
All right, take a lean back, bro. We're about to ask some like some chiller questions. Actually, before we do that, one last thing. What's your biggest regret? What's your biggest regret of your COD career up until this point?
Whew. You want me to? Okay, I'm going to be honest. Probably joining Legion too fast. I got a couple, but probably joining Legion too fast. That offer would have been on the table even if I like didn't take it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically could have stayed on Thieves, had a potential to maybe come back into the starting lineup. Who knows how it would have turned out? But I also would have got just free cash. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would have got free cash, like a lot more cash.
Yeah.
So it's just like I kind of just forfeited cash to play on a bad team, which is like that was kind of stupid. That was pretty stupid.
Why did you do it so quick though? You just didn't know if you would have ended.
Well, I asked a lot of people, and they all said I should play. I thought I low key should play. Like that was my first thought. I want to play. I like to compete more than anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think I could have took my time. I think I should have took my time with that decision.
Yeah, I always like to, you know, pick people's brains and learn stuff like that because it like sort of tells the story of like what shaped you into like where you're at now and what you're trying to grow towards.
Like for example, like I take a pay cut to join a losing team and then I get cooked for losing. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like why not take my time and, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the competitor in you, Don.
Yeah,
that's just the competitor in you, bro. Nobody.
If anything, I feel like I should get applauded for that, but that's not what happened.
Nobody want to be sitting on the sideline, bro. Nobody want to be waiting for the perfect opportunity. Hey, bro, you get thrown to the wolves. Like you got to make something happen. Go play, bro. Go show what you
we see. We see,
bro. We see it, bro. We see it.
We see people doing the opposite, like a lot. Like Illy right now, he's chilling, like taking a break.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
What's going like? Nobody knows really what's going on with him, but I mean, Don, as you know, that's a big risk, right?
Like, it's a big risk. That's what they were telling me. That's why they told me to play. They were just like, yo, like half the time when you do this sit out stuff and you don't play for a year, you don't come back. I mean,
who's that's the best a long example? Time. Gunless. Yeah. Gunless got to be the best example of this, right? Like, he sat out for a year and it was so much harder. Like, he was at, or not, it wasn't a year. He sat out for a while, but he was at like the pinnacle of like Call of Duty. Like he was the guy.
He was that guy.
When you take breaks, bro, it hurts you. Like, especially if the team ends up then playing well. Like for Illy, this is hurting. Like if Optic got second or whatever, and then Illy was right there on another team, I mean, it'd be different. Right? Like, it'd be a lot different. I don't know. But yeah, I commend you for that, actually. I respect that you went to go play because like, you got to always keep your gun warm, bro. You got to be in the mix.
Always. You got to be ready,
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Although, there are times when to be smart and when not, but yeah. Mm. It's just a tough topic. It's all situational. All right, but anyways, enough of the deep COD career stuff. Jay, you want to kick off the Friendly Fire segment?
Yeah, let's get it, Don. This is going to be the first time. This is going to be the first time we ever do the Friendly Fire segment. You're the first man. Appreciate you for coming out, as always. So,
thank you for having me.
Let's explain it.
Let's get it going.
Yeah, go ahead. You explain it.
You want to explain it? All right, so this is how we're going to get it, bro. We're going to talk. Obviously, the show is called Friendly Fire. We're just going to take two players from even nowadays, back in the day, players that you definitely know that can probably play the same exact role, have some great comparison between each other, and we're just going to make you choose between them, bro. All right?
All right.
All right, bro. So we're going to start it off with the big one, the number one, bro. Who are you taking, Big Timer or J-Cat?
Cat. I'm thinking with Cat. Well, I mean, Big Timer, I didn't really ever get to play against him. He was already, like, gone. But Cap was still good when I played. Like, he was still, like, a top 20 player. Like, he was good enough to be on, like, a top 3 team. But I'll go Cap. And he was my coach, man. Shout out to Cap. I just know Cap.
Like, yeah, Jay Roofs. That's the guy right
Jay
there.
Roofs,
okay.
Man.
Okay, wait, next
that was
up,
an
next
instant
up.
J-Cap. An instant J-Cap.
Wait, he didn't get to see. He didn't get to see. Will
I didn't
play.
I didn't. No, I got to saw him play. I saw him play, but I didn't. Like, I don't know him. I don't know.
Right, right, right,
you didn't play against him. Totally different. Yeah. All right, bet. So here we go. Number two, bro. The battle of the A's. Who you taking? Aches or Apathy?
Slayer. I ain't gonna lie. Now, look. Slayer, because
blow it up, bro.
When he was good, he was actually gross. I know y'all, a lot of people that played against him, he used to host on LAN. Okay, that is cheese. But
he was good.
He was gross, and I just liked him. Like, I was always a fan of him. App was gross, though. Like, I don't, App is 2-time world champ. Mm-hmm. He used to take over games, series. Like, I think App is gross. Like, I got to play against App while he was good as well, too. App's gross.
Okay.
I so feel like, Well, I just want to comment on that. Like, the difference in those guys is crazy because it's like Aches was like a fierce leader and competitor would just gas you up. Because I feel like both of them were star players, but it almost felt like they were always the superstar complement, though. Like, on their teams. It felt like App with John, you know what I mean? Or App on any team, he was a star, but he was the superstar complement. Same with Aches. But they would have their star moments. But the big difference
that is true.
Was,
I didn't never look at it like that. That's true.
You know what I mean? That's center why I put them next to each other. But when you think about Aches, he was like the leader and like he would gas you up and make you feel like the man. When you think about App, I mean, he's just going to go out there and give you 30 every game. Like, he's just going to, like, that's just how App was, right? And he was just, you know, no bullshit approach. So that one was, that's a hard one. I can't believe the quick Aches, though. Yeah. I feel like that's fiery. You and Aches together. It's like,
I just think the way that you view it is like Pat, he gonna be there like, yo, Don, you that shit. Like, you that guy, bro.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like, good shit, Don. But then he's focused on him getting 42, bro.
Yeah,
so that's a good matchup. That's a good matchup. But let's continue going
forward. They're gonna argue, bro. Like, that would be so toxic.
Yeah, but it's good to argue sometimes. Yeah, it's good to argue sometimes.
All right,
Don, here we go. Number three, bro. Who you taking?
That's a good
one. Oh, I'm looking at this list, but this is a battle of some good teammates, man. You taking Slack or you taking Classic? Who you got?
Oh.
It's a tough one.
I'll say it.
Tough one.
Prime Slack, damn. Prime Classic.
Oh. Yeah.
Damn. All right, I will go Nicky D, Prime.
Oh,
what game is Prime Nicky D?
Infinite Warfare. He was gross.
100%.
Yeah. He was gross. But the thing is, I team with Nick when he wasn't Prime. So like we've had like I team with Nick in Cold War. It was awful. Like we hated each other. So like that's what you know what I'm saying. That's why I'm kind of like maybe slacked. But like Prime Nicky D, he was gross. So I'll take him. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't compare like Slacked and Classic because Slack was around for a long time.
Yeah, Jerry had more like longevity. He had more good games, like more solid games. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, they was on the same team when Classic went 0-11, and they still won the Search and Destroy. So
yeah.
Some guys that were literally doing all this.
Wait a second, hold on.
That's crazy.
In my mind, I feel like Classic was the first guy that like created like you got to have vibes on a team. Like he was the guy.
Yeah.
Did he start that? Yeah. Was that? I feel like it was him because we never thought
about
him. We never thought about that. I was like sitting, I was like, vibes? Like, what? Your ass, figure it out. That's how it was. And everybody, like the eighth circle was like, nah, dude, Nicky D brings vibes and we're dominating. Mm-hmm. I was like, what?
For real, though.
Yeah, Nick was gross, bro. Nick and JB were both gross. All right, but last one for me, all right? This is a battle of this era. Battle right now, bro. Who are you taking? Prime SMG player, Pred or Hydra?
I'll take Pret. First of all, he's my homie.
Yeah.
And I just like, I like his, I don't know like Paco as like a person. I think Paco is gross. I think they're one and two, like they're very close to each other. Not one and two SMGs. I think Abizi is the best sub, but like for how they play on their teams, I feel like they're like very similar. But I just know Pret more. Like I know like he's a competitor. And I just know like he's like, I don't want to say oozing because that might be, I don't know. He's just very confident. He's very, confidence is overflowing. And I like that. Like, I like when I know my teammate thinks he's that guy.
You know he what I'm saying? He does think he's that guy,
He thinks he's that guy, but it's like not in a wrong way. It's in, you're supposed to think that.
Yeah.
So I just don't know that about Paco, but I think Paco is gross. I think he's very, very good. I just know Pred on like a different level. So I just know like, if I was playing with him, I can rely on him.
Yeah, that chemistry would be there, bro. Like,
yeah, it would already be there.
Even in 2K, when you're throwing him a lob, brother, you know he's out there for you, baby.
The Kim, if me and Pred played, it would already be there.
Yeah,
I would already
believe Timmy D is ready to make his return whenever you need. Timmy D's out there. I'm here now.
You know what? It's weird, like you bring that up because when I look at like the pros now, there's a lot of people that obviously. Jay, we didn't compete at the same time they did, but you like get an idea of their personality. There's the pros who give off that killer mindset that some of the last era had. And Pred definitely gives that off. I feel like that whole Seattle team, their like aura, like the confidence that they exude is
they
really,
swag.
Really good. They got it. Yeah. They
got some swag.
It's important to have, And it seems like that's kind of what you want for a team, which
I like
is
that.
Good. Yeah. Clay has that in his own way.
Clay's
he has
got
that.
It.
Yeah. Clay's an enigma, bro.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how that motherfucker still does it.
Clay is an enigma, dude. All right, yeah. Next one, Jerd or Bance?
Jerd, I team with Jerd. Jerd used to bait for me every life, yo. I had TJ bait for me. I ain't gonna lie, TJ is my guy. I love TJ now. Like, I like when people bait for me all the time. Like, TJ, they'll just fly in for me and let me get a two-piece. And that's, like, I love that because it's like, bro, you're sacrificing. It's the right play for you to make. So, like,
yeah.
Sometimes you don't need applause for making the right play. But, like, some people don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But TJ will run it. Like, I love when, like, I have a teammate who will just run in and just die for the win.
And like, the caveat, Jerd, like, and not get mad, though.
And not get mad because he's, and not get mad. Like, Jerd, like, yo, Jerd was with it, bro. Like, me and Jerd, like, I think even now, like, me and Teach say, like, yo, we got 99 teamwork. Like, I think me and Teach do, like, work on the fly together really, really well. Like, better than any combination of players on our team. I feel like we work on the fly together well. But me and Jerd, it was, like, different because, like, I feel like he was, like, more, not locked than Teach, but, like, he never missed a call out from me. Like, I swear. Mm. That's what it felt like. It felt like every time I wanted to like hit something, he would just say yes. Like he was just with whatever. Like he never like second guessed me like ever. Yeah. Like he did literally almost like it's not like his comms were so good because it's not like he like said a lot of things. He was so good at listening like everything. Mm-hmm. Like there wasn't a moment where I was like, yo, I said this. You didn't hear me? That happens like a lot now. Like with just any teams. Like I just called that out. You didn't hear that? But Jerd, it was. Bro, I call something out. We're there. We're on it.
Well, everybody's bro,
That's crazy because that was even in a 5v5 game, bro.
It was 5v5.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that.
You got to account for, bro. Jerd is out there just strictly listening, like in those moments.
Give some applause for Jerd, yo.
He's still locked in those comments.
He was gross. I loved playing with Jerd, bro.
He's got to be one of the most underrated ever. I mean, even he's playing with Jerd. I'm like, dude, who is this guy?
That guy's
this
gross, literally bro.
Scum from the UK. Like,
this guy is... bro. That's what we compared him to every year, bro. Ever since.
I love that answer, Don. All right, here we go. Another one. All right, here's a battle of some absolute OGs, some founding fathers. Rambo or TP?
I'll go TP, bro. Listen, no smoke. I don't want no smoke, but TP, like, TP got That's the fair. Underrated Fundy Gunny, bro. Like, he wasn't getting slammed. Like, people were like, remember, like, TP was getting slammed. Like, no, he had above a one with a sub, like, every time.
Yeah,
and you gotta remember everything,
bro. Teep, dude, I don't know. I'll probably go Rambo because I team with him and he's a great teammate. But thinking about Teep back in the day, bro, he got done dirty on that team. I mean, I'm talking, he had to plan it no matter what.
Go out and
plan it. Like, he had to run like the trophy. Like, my man was he was everywhere on the map, dude, like doing the dirty work. Which Rambo was doing that too, but Ray also, Jay, you know it, you know, he had some freedom at times. Like, I'm going to make this play. I'm going to do this.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I don't remember Teep ever being like, I'm going to make this play and just like go rogue.
Nah, bro, because Teep never had that opportunity, bro. You think about his teammates, like Clay, they used to the Damon. He always had Pat.
He had shackles, bro.
He's straight locked down, bro. Ray's running around with a shotgun on Matt.
Dude, we got to ask Teep one day. Somebody's got to ask Teep one day, like, how it felt like if he ever got to just let loose on a team. I don't think he ever got to let loose.
Nah, he didn't, bro.
He was like the guy, yo.
I'm walking in. I'm taking over today. Like, just being that guy. Hell no. Nah. Sit your ass back, T. Plant that bomb. That's how it was his whole career, man.
I'm sure he didn't mind it, but he did have it. He had a gunny. He just never got to use it.
He had a gunny on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, here we go. This is I didn't know who to put up against this guy, but I thought this was a good matchup. Methods or Trey Zero?
That's tough. Like, overall, whole career or that's tough. That's actually very. They play. I would say it depends. Like, when Trey was in his prime, I feel like Trey is better at search. And then the events where Trey's like his teams have done well, he was also good in respawn. So, like, those events where Trey's like won MVP or done well, I would take Trey because he's really, really good at search.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know. That's a hard one. I actually don't. I think they're like very even, like neck and neck.
It is a hard one, man. Cause you think about Prime Trey, and it was like IW, right? Where he was super frying. He was nasty that game. And then for Zen, it was WW2 for sure. You don't got an answer? It's just even? It's equal?
No, I would say Trey. No, oh, I would say Trey. Okay. I would say Trey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. At his peak, if we're going peak, if we're going longevity, I would probably go Zenny. If we're going peak, I would go Trey. Yeah.
Wait, you don't think Trey still got it? You don't think he can still play?
I mean, I don't know what he's doing. I just see him playing GTA.
Like, yeah,
I don't
GTA know. Role play, bro. He's grinding, but
I don't. Yeah, I just don't know.
Yeah, reps in.
Yeah, I don't know if he's scrimming. I don't know what he's doing. I don't think.
Hey, I mean, yeah.
I think me personally, what I've learned, because I remember I used to think like even like your guys, I was still a part of your guys, like the end of your guys' generation. I thought
you were in our circle.
I thought you guys maybe it's not age. It's just burnout. It has nothing to do with age. It's burnout. You know what I'm saying? So I think as long as you can manage burnout, you can play as long as you want to. It's not like, oh, you're too old. Now you can't play. Like, you guys are probably younger than Clay, right?
Yeah.
It's just managing. Yeah, definitely younger than Clay. That's what I'm saying. So it's just managing burnout, right? Like, you got to find a way to grind hard, but not over grind to where it makes you want to be like, man, I'm not doing this bullshit.
I mean, yeah, because I don't know. Don, do you feel like pro players play more now or back then? Because I don't know back how you could have played more. We played, dude, I played like 15 hours, at, like unhealthy amount.
Back then. The only pros now that are grinding like how we used to is like Draza.
Yeah, he played.
That's about day. It. Yeah, that's about it. I can't think of no one that was grinding like how we used to play.
Dude, it was ridiculous.
Remember
IW?
Jay, before IW champs, we played like 3 scrims in a day, and then I played 4-8 series. Bro, you know what I'm saying? So like, nah, bro. We not doing that no more, bro.
Do you remember? Do you remember 8s and IW? Because I vividly remember this, bro. Because I would wake up at 1:30 or 2. We'd do 2 sets of scrims, and then after scrims, 8s would start popping. You'd hear it light up like a candle, bro. Everybody would join the team speak. And we had a document of like who 8s records.
Yep.
And we had like, it was the same people every time. It was like 20 people. And we played 4 to 5 8s a night. We had 2 series going. Yep. Everybody went to bed at like 5, and then it was rinse and repeat.
Yeah. Every day.
That had to have burnt so many people out. Like, because Formal, that was his best game ever. And like,
oh, yeah.
He was in. I'm talking every 8s lobby.
Every 8s. He played every 8s. And he scrimmed. Yeah. He didn't miss a game.
And he definitely did burn out a little bit that year. Because the next year.
You can't do that. You can't do that. I haven't like talked to Draza about it like in depth. But like, you can't do that every year for 7, 6, 8 years straight. You know what I'm saying? Bro. It's impossible. You got to go on vacation. You got to play other games. You got to do something to relieve stress and make sure you don't burn out. You have to.
You have to, bro. Because I remember, like, I went from that to just retired. Like, it was like that. And then I got dropped and I was retired. And I was like, yo, life is, I never had life. I never had a life. Like, that's, Jay, do you remember, like, when you went from that to, because it was the same thing for you.
It's just
like,
bro.
It's like, what do I do? It's so weird.
That shit was an awful time in life, bro.
Like, I got like 14 hours.
The time, I'm like, wow, I can play 6 hours and be good for the day. I'm feeling good. I'm vibing, bro. Ain't no burnout for me, man. I still can't believe. Like, that's how much time we was putting in back in the day. And there's still a couple players still putting in that time. That's not.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's time better spent now, which is why they're so much better than we were, because they learned, they have the formula. The last one, though, Don, Octane or Slasher?
Longevity or right now, like which
prime slasher, prime octane?
Prime, yeah, which one?
What are you taking? This isn't what the community or like
that I would want to play with.
Yeah, this is all
I wanted. I've always wanted to play with Octane because I've teamed with Austin, but Austin is gross. Like Austin prime, like I think he's been getting slammed a little. I'm about to go stay at his crib in a few days. I gotta watch what I say. But Austin's been getting slammed a little bit here and there recently, and Octane's been frying. But overall, like Austin in his prime, he was gross. He was gross. Every game he was making finals. His teams were better as well. So that you can I see that side of the argument. I think Austin's teammates were also a little better than Sam's.
Wait, but who had the more the scarier prime, Octane or Slasher?
I don't. Scarier prime is crazy.
It's crazy.
damn, Damn, I don't know. That's so close, bro. Like,
it's so close, man.
I would have to also give it to you every single. He's gonna give it to you in every single map and mode, especially Surge Destroy.
The one thing I would say is Surge. I feel like Surge is the difference. Like, Austin is probably a top five Surge player of all time. But really? I also think, yeah, he has to be. Austin has to be top five Surge player of all time. He has to be.
He's if you just check the SD win streaks.
I gotta do some digging on that one, but I'll get back to you, big fella. I'll get back to you.
I agree on that.
Octane, like, I feel like Sam, he's easier to play with. Like, Austin, to me personally, isn't the easiest player to play with, at least when I play with him, because he wasn't like an AR that's sitting in the hill and playing objectively. He was an AR that's trying to drop bombs. Like, Octane is in the hill, and then he might even drop a bomb while sitting in the hill the whole game. So now I could just run around and just get kills while he's in the hill. You know what I'm saying?
And his communication, A1.
Yeah. Right. I would go Octane to play with, but I think Austin was frying his whole career.
Yeah, and I guess there's some things that Austin has that are, like, a bit different. Like, Austin won a championship with a team that had no business winning a championship.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Octane has a moment as special as that one in terms of, like, just like rallying a group together, because he's got good ass teammates, bro. Like, really good teammates. It's close. So, yeah. I mean, for me though, Prime, I'm going with Sam. I'm going Octane. That guy had my number, bro. I was getting had. I could beat Slasher. That was no problem. When I went up against Octane though, wow, I was lucky to get a map, dude. Oh my God. That was by far the hardest player to play against, for sure.
I remember you saying that.
Dude, he was a demon on the map. That's all we got here on this list, man. I thought the friendly fight. I didn't want to put too many more. I was gonna start taking current teammates and stuff. I was like, I can't put him in that situation.
Chill.
I think for this little part right here, I just want to step away from Call of Duty now, Don. Because you know how some people pro players, whatever it is, whenever you're doing something at a profession, you always have to have a hobby or something, an escape. And like, for us, it used to be, before we were pros, it was hopping on a video game. But now, since it's your profession, you have taken it to the music industry. And I was a guy in the beginning of your music thing that I was giving you a little bit of flack. Like, you know, I was your boy. Same. I was gonna tell you how it is. But now that you have grown in that department and taking your music to a whole different level, bro, you got people tweeting out your shit, bro. Like,
yeah,
you
are the man right now,
bro. How is it, Don, that you are able to do something completely different and still be a professional in it, bro? How is it?
It feels good. It's just fun. Like, it's so much fun. Getting better is so much fun. Like, I know how the old songs sound. Like, I'm just having so much fun. It feels good to make songs or just do anything that people like, even if they like a part of the song or they think, yo, I like this part, but you could have did this part better. Like, it's very good. I've been enjoying it a lot. It's like a release, you know. Makes me like get sometimes a lot of the times, especially recently, if I feel like I need to get something off my chest, I just go start fire. Talking.
Okay,
because it's like a live diary, right? Because you could just go in there, you could just spit some bars. I'm like, all right,
yeah,
yo, we got diss tracks coming out soon, yo. What's up? Talk to me.
Nah, no diss tracks, bro. I've been only making
3-2. Fuck you, like, nah, none of that.
Nah, I've only made like a couple songs about gaming. Like, I made this one song called Hate, and it was right after I got slammed by New York online. And literally, it's so weird. Like, that's one of the only songs I made about gaming. Is like, I play better filled with hate. I play better because I was like, I got slammed in the match, and I feel like during the match I just wasn't myself. So I was just like not being myself. Like, I was trying to just not say stuff, like call out Calm. So I was like, I just play better being myself. And that's pretty much the whole song. So I feel like some gamers will like that song for sure. And then people who don't play games be like, what is this guy talking about? I play better filled with hate.
Just drop it.
You know, but I got some songs like for gamers, you know?
Sure. That'd be dope. Oh yeah, bro. I'll have to check it out. The latest song was Heat. I'm not gonna lie. I was just like, Jay, I trolled you on the first one. I know. I remember the Twitter exchange. And then the next one came out, and I was like, okay, Don's actually getting better. When do you record these? Just bro. After scrims? Like, what's going on?
Your day has got to be busy.
I don't want to say, because you know my coach hates when we stay up late, but I'm up late. I'm up late in the stew.
That's what I wanted to get to in this part. You're a big proponent of health now. You look incredible, yes. Don. You look amazing. I saw that was the first time I walked in. I was like, I think it was whatever the event was before this one. I saw you. I was like, damn, Don is in great shape. Like, what's good? What have you been doing, bro? Because, like, you look healthy.
Well, now I'm starting to try to, like, yesterday I actually worked out for, like, the first time in so long.
Nice, bro.
I'm very good at watching what I eat. I'm very, very good. Even, like, I have, like, a natural calorie calculator in my head built in. Like, even, like, everything I consume, like, I'm, like... I'm not overthinking it. Like, I'll go rogue. Like, don't get me wrong.
You can see a donut and just be like 700 calories right there.
Yeah.
But I don't even eat donut. Like, when I go rogue, I'll eat like my cheats now are like a bowl of cereal, pizza, or like chips and queso. Like, I don't eat donut. Like, I really don't ever eat like donuts or like sweets like that or cake or nothing like that. But like, I'll just get like a good meal. Like, I still eat very good food. Like, come on now. Like, I used to be massive. Like, I love chicken wings. I love steak. I love great. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love great food. So I'm still gonna eat great food. It's just I cut down. And like for breakfast, I have like two breakfasts. Like, I either eat like a egg sandwich with like low calorie bread, like low calorie everything, or oatmeal. Like, so then my breakfast is like 300, 400 calories, and then I'll eat one time.
Really, like, most gamers don't eat breakfast, bro. I feel like that's different.
I used to not eat before I play. I used to. Now that I'm older and like I've like lost weight, I need, like, if I just don't eat all day, I'm gonna be miserable. I used to be able to. I mean, this is a little bit different, but like, I remember like growing up, didn't you feel like you used to roll out of bed, not be able to take a shower and hop on the game? Yeah. Like, now if I don't wake up, take a shower, put on cologne, and like get dressed, like, I'm a piece of crap. Like, I don't
talk to you.
You know what I'm saying? Awful. Like, I need a routine.
It's gonna wake you up.
Feel muggy, blurry, ass vision, like everything.
Brother,
slow motion.
Brother,
like,
we used to stay up till 5 a.m. and then wake up at like noon and jump in our 2K match instantly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, oh, I didn't even see him there.
Yep. I can't do that. I need some sort of routine, and just eating breakfast just helps me keep a routine. It gives me some sort of energy. Yeah. So I have to do that. Yeah.
It's good, bro.
Well, shit, bro. I appreciate you doing this. The last part is just some questions from chat, bro. This is our first episode. We were like, who would be a good first episode? We were like, we know Don will be laid back and chill. And it went really great, bro. So I appreciate
you. Great, bro. I appreciate
you. No problem. Hey, we can run it back whenever y'all need me.
Hell yeah.
Let's get it, baby.
Anybody in chat, if you guys have a question, no call-ins for this episode, but when we run it back, we'll do some call-ins.
I know Puckett asked what's my favorite
shout out
to Puckett.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead, ask it. Go ahead.
All right, so he asked, what are your favorite artists from different genres?
Okay, so before I played Call of Duty, I played Guitar Hero. That's probably like my second best game. That's when I like a lot of rock. I don't listen to it every day. But I could just, like, Buckethead, he's like, he plays guitar, and there's no words on the song. It's just simply guitar. So it's like guitar instrumentals, but they're fire.
Mm-hmm.
I like Metallica. I like...
Metallica, we like that. Saw them live.
Old Aerosmith. Like, I like rock.
Wow.
Wait, Don.
Wow.
Yeah, I like rock.
Don, did you go to the Metallica concert at X Games?
No.
It was live there. You were there.
Nah, yeah, I didn't go. I don't remember. I've not seen... We went to Travis Scott.
We did. Me and Don went to all three of us.
We went to Travis Scott.
I forgot. Let me do Monkey B in the circle, bro. What's going on, bro?
Yo, Jay, hold on. You gotta tell them the story, dude. What happened?
What story? What? With Mark?
Yeah, this is hilarious.
So we had the Travis Scott concert. We deep. It's me.
We're on the floor.
Pac-Man.
We're on the floor. Paint the picture,
and
bro.
Marky B, bro. This is our squad. Like, the floor is massive, bro. There's a stage on the left, a stage on the right. Travis got this little walkway. Yeah, he's able to go between both stages, bro. He started off on the right stage. Once you got to the right stage and then he got to the left, everybody's already jam-packed. So all of us, we sitting there like, yo, we got to get some good spots, bro. We got to move up. So we start getting through, and then a mosh pit happens, bro. And then we all like, oh,
this is the craziest place I've ever been in my life, bro. It was so turned.
Massive ass mosh pit. Me, Don, and Pac-Man. We all in there going crazy. And Marky B, you know, obviously he's not American. He's not from here. He never really been in that kind of environment, bro. But then when he, because he wasn't with us originally, but then we threw his ass in there. And that was hilarious.
That's one of the highlights of my life when it comes to like all the gaming homies. That was such a good time, man.
Yeah, bro. That was a great time.
I guess, you know, we're off the rails anyways. Before we get the rest of the questions from chat, I want to ask you, Don, the culture seems a lot different. What's it like now? Because we were all friends, we all hung out all the time, and I was talking to some of the pros this last event. They were like, yeah, everybody leaves early, nobody hangs out. It's way different than it used to be.
It's way different.
Is it like, why?
Well, I think one, everyone's older, everyone's got girlfriends.
Yeah,
everyone's like grown, like way more grown.
Not everybody,
like,
though. There's some youngins.
There's some youngins, but like more people are more grown. And I feel like y'all were like more welcoming, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. like I remember even when I like came up, like when I would like join the calls, like y'all weren't, I'm not saying like we're weird. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I feel like you guys weren't weird. Like all the OGs, like y'all might have hated on me like behind closed doors, but like when I was in the call, it was like cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, yo, what's good, Don? Like y'all mm-hmm. were treating me like
it's
I was
like that anymore.
I don't feel like we're like chill. Like, I feel like everyone's like talking to their teams. And I kind of like that. Like, just keeping stuff in between your teams and not like the only person, like, I only talk to Ken. Like, Kenny is the only person I talk to on another team about my team. Like, okay. I talk to Austin, Lamar, but like, I don't never talk to Austin about COD anymore. Mm. Like Kenny, I'll be like, yo, how y'all looking scrims? Or like, how y'all been doing? Or, I'll be like, yo, we're about to play Optic. Yo, you scrim Optic the other day. Like, what was the map count? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Other than that, I don't really talk to like anyone.
This
like,
is
that
why
used to
you
be
slam.
A whole thing.
There,
it used to be a whole thing, like, oh bro, you were talking to such and such on TeamSpeak last night. Why'd you tell him this? Like,
yeah, it used to be
bro,
there.
You don't even get in that scenario. I don't talk to no one. Like,
yeah, bro.
That was
but
the
I'm
thing
still
because
cool
people...
with everyone when I see them. Like, it's you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's not like it's yeah. animosity. It's just people got girlfriends. People got their own stuff they want to do. Like, people yeah. got, you know, it's just different.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, the culture shift and how it is and if it was good or bad. I just remember people talk a lot of crap behind their teammates' back to other teams.
Yeah.
And it was always
yeah.
bad back in the day. That was the yeah. negative part of it. The great part of it was the memories and the brotherhood
yes.
that you formed and being able to, like, knowing I could team with that guy, I could team with that guy.
Yes.
Like that. Mm-hmm. You know who works with who. Through that sort of environment. Anyways, that mm-hmm. popped in my head based on what we were just talking about. Some questions from chat, though. Funniest moment at an event from LaserZEU. LaserZEU.
There's a couple. Can I talk, like, I don't know. Like, what can I talk about? Can I talk about any, like, former, like, Wii stories? Like, as a kid, like, or no? Like, any? Like, I just
mean,
remember, like, being a little kid, like, little kids, like, just laughing, like, first time. Like, I don't know. Like, we don't do nothing at events. There's nothing, like, I'm not chilling with people. I don't know. Like, we'll just go to, like, some, like, bar and get drinks. Like, but it's not that funny. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like all the funny stuff. Huh? What happened?
I was going to say, I could think of one funny moment at one event with me and you, actually. We was in Minnesota, bro, remember? Like, you wasn't trying to play on the tables, but it was, like, me on the slow, and you're like, yo, Jay, throw that on there. Because I was winning a couple hands, now you was just like, yo, you take this home.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And we was catching
okay.
the cup on him, you know
okay,
what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, 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 I remember that.
Nah, we got history, baby. Oh, shit.
Yeah, we got history. Nice I ain't go, oh, I'll tell you a funny story, but y'all two.
Oh no!
Yeah, we beat Ant. Yo, me and Jay beat Ant at Chance, bro. Woo. Jay was talking shit to Ant for 7 hours straight.
It is so ridiculous.
And Ant
bro.
Was just sitting there. Ant was just sitting there being a W homie, W man's like y'all obviously hella close. But Jay, like, it would die down for like 15 minutes. Like, we start talking about something else, and then Jay would just. Yeah, that's why I smoked you, trash ass motherfucker. Like, and then 15 more minutes later, like, he'll start going again. Like,
and I was out of tournament. Like, I was just trying to support you. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, literally, man, I just had to make you realize, bro.
It was like seven. It was like literally like 6 hours straight.
Dude.
Like, they were just chilling. Like, it was a long time. Like,
I wasn't gonna let you live that one up, bro.
But like, right after champs,
you didn't even make no money.
Did you?
Yeah, right at the chance for you.
No,
yeah.
We didn't. We didn't make no money.
But we choked in our ass.
Personality in a nutshell, dude.
We choked in our ass, but we whooped your ass. Bro. We whooped your ass. And I was gonna make sure you heard about it. But
what was your guy's fourth? It was you. It was you. Who was your fourth? Ashley and who?
Me. Ricky. Yeah, Ricky. Ricky
wow.
was calling out
just imagine
false calls and shit.
I was actually gross that team. Imagine if you guys were on my team. We would have fried at that event.
Yeah, Ricky was yo, team with Ricky was comedy, bro.
Comedy, bro.
Yeah, dude, Rick's hilarious, dude. He'd be like, all right, guys, one more round, we'll be at four. Yeah. Once we get to four, we're two away from closing it out.
Bro, there was a map we're playing at the LCQ with Ricky. Ricky was 10-30. Bro, he was yelling like he was frying. Bro, I was full-blown toxic. This is at my peak of toxicness. I popped the scoreboard. I say, Rick, shut the fuck up. You're not getting a kill. Yo, he stopped. Yo, he actually shut up, and we won the game.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, you're 10-30. What are you yelling? Like, he was yelling like, they're dead. I'm like, yo, Rick.
Nah, you remember that chance, bro, when he called out three flank and it was only Tommy and him get turned
on? Yeah. Rick was watching the flank, got turned on. He said, three flank. I'm like, bro, there's one guy there, bro.
Oh, that's the worst. You can't get away with that type of stuff now because you got a coach in the background.
I love Rick, bro.
I love you, Rick.
Oh, that's good.
That's funny, bro.
I love Team Widow, man. He always made it feel so real. Like, yo, all right, we win this match, guys, we make 20K. Do you know what I could do with 20K? And I'd be like, oh, damn, you're right. Like, this is God tournament. Like, this 20K on the line. They'd be like, dude, and then all of this, like, six more maps, bro, 50 racks. I'm like, oh, my God.
That motherfucker used to have you ready to go at anything.
Dude, he would just, it was always about cash, and he would just ground you immediately, dude. He would just ground you. But he's a good teammate, though, man. Just sometimes, yeah. Again, anyways, what other questions? Jay, you see any other questions in chat? What we got here?
Nah, bro. Everything in chat, you know, is pretty common, you know?
Oh, do you...
I'm not...
Oh, well, somebody asked you a question. We'll answer that on our own streams later.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I mean, it's all good, but I don't really curse on casting, so it is what it is. Gotta keep it professional.
Well, all right, Don, we've taken your about 2 hours of your time, bro. I appreciate it, man. We definitely gotta run this back. Listen, I'm unbiased as an honor talent, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't rooting for you and Legion to 100%. Make the miracle run, bro. It will make it all better. It's champs is in Vegas.
We got you.
It's only right. So good luck, my brother.
Good luck, Don. Man. I appreciate y'all for real. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you, brother.
You know what I'm saying? I hope y'all have much success with bringing this back.
Thank you,
hope
bro.
The clips go viral. You know what I'm saying? And let's get it.
Let's get it. All right, guys. Appreciate all you guys listening on iTunes or Spotify. Much love. Make sure you check out Temp's Twitter, @Temp on Twitter. You can find the rest of his socials there. Also, @Nameless and @JeremyStud on the timeline. You can find all our socials in our bios. Make sure you leave a rating. We appreciate that. 5 stars, of course. If it's anything less, just turn it off. Don't leave a rating.
Yeah.
Much love and appreciation. We'll catch you guys in the next episode. For YouTube people, leave a like. Peace out.
Peace out, everybody.
Osis.
Gotta give it like 10 seconds so I have a hard cut, you know.
Awkward.
Crunch. No, I'm just messing.